So what I wanted to do today is, as you can see on the screen there, let's review. We have covered a lot so far. And I know this was something that Jordan would normally do at the beginning of each class, where he would kind of spend the first like 5 or 10 minutes reviewing what he had done the previous week. I have not been doing that as good as maybe I should have, and so I want to take today, and surprise, we might actually get out a few minutes early. That does not happen very much when I teach class. But what I want to do today is kind of review some of these things and talk with you to see if some of this is sticking, to see if there's something that was confusing, to see if something that maybe we talked about was troubling. Because we did look at some Bible passages where some things were a little unclear. Was it there originally or was it not? And, how does all this work with my Bible because it's in my Bible now? And things like that. So, remember early on when we started the study on the book, The Case for Christ. I somehow managed to make it out of the house without my copy. But you can find it on Amazon, Google, anywhere. And it's a movie these days, so you can actually find the movie at Redbox. I haven't watched the movie. But how much is a Redbox movie these days? Like, still a dollar? Okay. $1.50? All right. Probably $1.50 for a new release. Okay. Glad to see that inflation hasn't gotten us that much in a few years. Because I remember when they were a dollar. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad they're still a dollar. You can watch the movie too. It's kind of a dramatized version of Lee Strobel's story. Lee Strobel is the author of our book here. But I think it's produced by people who really wanted to kind of capture the essence of Lee Strobel and his story. And so I think that they've done a pretty good job of showing you kind of what it was like for Lee Strobel to go through this personal quest, I guess you could call it, of asking tough questions like, okay, we've got these accounts of Jesus. They're called the Gospels. What do we make of these? How can we, how is this any different from, say, some other religion's sacred books or something like that? And that's really kind of one of the questions that I've been asking a lot the last several weeks. What's the difference between, say, the Gospels and the Quran? Or, the Quran will say things about Jesus and it'll say that he wasn't crucified. Okay? Remember the line that says this. They say, in boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. So I'm quoting from the Quran. But they did not kill him, nor crucified him, but so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For they certainly did not kill him. No, Allah raised him up to himself. So that's from the Quran. And that's what it says about Jesus. So the Quran says that Jesus... So if you have any co-workers or friends or neighbors who may be Muslim, which I don't think that that's most of us, but I know that is... I mean, the world's just kind of changing. I went to high school with people from all different kinds of religions. My parents went to, predominantly white, I think mostly white high schools, much less people from, different parts of the world. So anyway, but, so say you've got somebody who is who's a Muslim, and you're talking about Jesus, and they say, the Quran says that Jesus wasn't crucified. Y'all got it wrong. I remember this vividly. I was in the sixth grade, and I was talking with a student who was, I think he was from Pakistan, okay? His family was from Pakistan, predominantly Muslim country. And I don't remember exactly how it came up, but I remember him, what was his name? I don't remember. But I remember him saying distinctly, "You changed the Bible. You people changed the Bible." In the sixth grade, and he was saying that Christians changed the Bible. Now, what he meant was, the Quran says Jesus wasn't crucified. And so in his mind, that's what's true. In his mind, that's what's true. He is convicted to his core that that is true, that Jesus wasn't crucified, that before Jesus died, before Jesus was even put on the cross,
maybe,
that Allah,
God,
snatched him up, and it just looked like Jesus was on the cross. It just looked like he died. So that's according to the Quran. All right, so you as a Christian, say that you're having this conversation with someone. And let's also, you know, I mean, we're all adults here. We can have difficult conversations with people that we disagree with and not blow a gasket, right? I mean, we can hash this stuff out. I mean, we can do this, all right? We can do this. Maybe not very easily. Yeah, but, you know, we can do this. All right, so let's, in this hypothetical situation where you're talking with your Muslim friend or neighbor or coworker or boss, yeah. And they're saying this, how do you respond? Do you just quote back to them book, chapter, and verse from the Bible? How would you respond? What would you say? Okay, yeah, so you would point them back to the Bible? Okay. Yeah. So Chastity's made a good point here. Say that you're talking with your Muslim friend or neighbor or coworker, whoever it is, and they tell you, "Well, you know, but I have always grown up reading the Quran. I go to mosque regularly. I pray every 5 times a day. You know, we go Fridays, etc. You know, things that good Muslims are supposed to do. You know, and the Quran says that Jesus wasn't crucified. If I say to them, well, the Bible says that Jesus was crucified. I mean, like what Harold pointed out. I mean, yes, that's what the Bible says, and I absolutely affirm that because I affirm that the Bible is God's word. Amen? Should see more head nods and things like that. I know it's a little early for this kind of discussion. Maybe we should get some coffee in the lobby. You know? The best part of walking into the lobby, yes. Some Folgers in your cup. Anyway, but so Harold said, okay, well, I would show him, you know, the Bible and stuff like that. But Harold, my question is, if they don't believe the Bible's true, then Chastity's point was there may be another route to go. Chris, you had a point.
You brought it out earlier and asked me about what I did as far as character investigations and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's absent in the historical fact when it comes to the resurrection of Christ. You have people, even according to the gospel, that have means, more than an opportunity to denounce and detract from it. The Sanhedrin, the chief priests, and everything. And yet there's nothing historical documents from them that say it's a hoax. They took the body to death. They tried. But there's no documents back then.
Yeah.
The Quran, written 500 years later,
No, keep going. This is good.
25 years in our history as a country, and then we're talking double of that, and then someone says, I've never heard.
Yeah.
But there's no, we have over 6,000 agreements, 30-something thousand documents together that say it happened, I witnessed it, it's a true thing.
Yeah. So what Chastity and Chris are hitting at is, say that somebody comes up to you and says, Your Muslim friend here. We'll name him Ahmed. I knew a Muslim guy in junior high. His name was Ahmed. He was from Somalia. Okay. So say Ahmed comes up to you and says, the Quran says that Jesus wasn't crucified. Well, you can and probably should say, well, okay, the Bible says The Gospels say that Jesus was crucified. But we can maybe take that a step further. And say the Gospels were written pretty close to the time when Jesus lived. You know, probably our earliest Gospel is maybe the Gospel of Mark. And he probably wrote maybe 35 years after that. So in our mind, that seems like a long time, right? That may seem like a long time. Think about it. If somebody told you something really important and you said, man, I got to remember this, would you wait 35 years to write it down? No, we wouldn't, because that's us. All of us can read and write. We're training five-year-olds, all five-year-olds, I mean, if they're in school like they should be, we're training kids to read and write. That didn't happen 2,000 years ago, okay? There was a whole group of eyewitnesses that lived with Jesus. They're called the disciples. There were 12 of them. That's a lot of guys. So imagine if one of them maybe got something wrong or misremembered something. Okay, human memory can be a little fragile sometimes. There would be 11 more who could say, oh, hey, actually he was here when he said this, or actually he did this afterwards. There was a way to, kind of provide a little corrective, right? If you're telling a story, how many of you have been in a situation where you're at Thanksgiving or Christmas and you're telling a story and you get a detail wrong and it's a favorite story and somebody else says, actually, no, that's not how it happened. I start stories all the time and I just have to give it up to Linnea because she remembers stuff a lot better than I do. And it's story, unless it's a story that, I've told several times and, that I've got really down pat. I'm not good at telling stories in general. Linnea is a much better storyteller. But when we are there telling a favorite family story, and maybe occasionally sometimes the details will differ here and there between each retelling, but you hit all the major points, and everybody there knows what's going on, and so if I just make something up wildly, everybody will say, whoa, hey, no, that's not how it happened. He wasn't there, or he didn't say that. He didn't do that. She didn't do that. So, to bring it back towards the Gospels, even though Mark may have written, a couple of decades after the time that Jesus lived, that whole time before then, that whole time between Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, and the time that the very first gospel was written, probably the Gospel of Mark, probably in the mid-60s, that 35-year gap, we've got people like the apostles, like all of these women that traveled around with them. Luke mentions specifically a group of women that traveled around with them and financially supported them. They would have been wealthy widows. Not just these women, but people from all over the villages where Jesus lived. I mean, they're constantly telling the stories. Hey, man, you remember the time when when Grandma, she was sick and she was spending all her money on these doctors and she hunted Jesus down in the middle of the crowd and just grabbed the hem of his garment and she was healed. And Jesus turned around and she was terrified and then suddenly. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. They're telling that story in their families and in their neighborhoods and in their communities and when they get together. And the disciples are telling their stories and telling it to their families and telling it to their communities. Whenever they get sent off, whenever Saul starts persecuting the church and people run everywhere, they're taking their stories with them. They're taking their families with them. They're taking little groups of eyewitnesses with them. So the story has been told over and over again. And it's been told for years and years and years. And then when it gets, you know, persecution of the church starts and people spread out into all the towns and villages, they're still telling the same stories. And what's interesting is that those stories are still being transmitted in the same way. And so there's this period of oral transmission that we just don't think about because that's not the kind of culture we live in. Mary, you got a point. Yes, please. Let's hear it.
I want to make sure I get this right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're saying, okay, we go back and we give a little history. Somebody asked me to tell us that Christ really wasn't crucified and all that. Okay, I understand history, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Give history. But don't come back. You have to bring that back up, show up what's in there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I want to make sure that we understand this point, so we make sure we do. Just because they don't believe in the Bible, we have to come around and say, we don't believe.
Right.
Bring
Yeah. Yeah, so Mary's right. You know, just because they don't believe in the Bible, you know, our Ahmed, our hypothetical Muslim, you know, friend or neighbor, just because Ahmed doesn't believe in the Bible doesn't mean that I have to treat it with any less respect. You know, I can still point to book, chapter, and verse and say, okay, well, you've got four different accounts from four different people, and although they may differ in some minor details about, you know, who said what on the cross or what did Jesus say and stuff like that, I mean, the big points are there. The big points are there. And not only that, give me just a sec, Joan. Not only that, we have pagan historians who also mention that under Pontius Pilate, there was this man who suffered the ultimate penalty. And his name was Jesus. There's a Jewish historian also. His name is Josephus. It's a name you need to know. Josephus. He lived around the first century. We get a lot of information from him about Pharisees and Sadducees. And you want to know what's interesting? A lot of the information that we have from the New Testament about Pharisees and Sadducees, Josephus corroborates it. Josephus is not a Christian. Josephus is not a Christian. Josephus lived as a Pharisee for a while, and he was there watching Jerusalem as it was destroyed and the temple burned. Josephus is a Jewish historian from the first century, and Josephus also mentions that Jesus was crucified. Josephus is not trying to present the gospel. He's just saying that, you know, there was this important figure that some people thought was the Messiah, and he was killed. And so when the New Testament authors start telling us some things about, you know, like Pharisees or Sadducees, and then a totally different person who doesn't believe in Jesus at all also tells us some of the same things about Pharisees and Sadducees, it should make us think, oh, okay. The New Testament authors, it seems like they kind of know what they're talking about. Because we have corroboration from outside sources. Which is something that Chris has mentioned before when he's doing, you know, this reference checking and character witnesses and stuff like that. Joan, you had a comment or question?
Both.
I'm ready for both.
I don't know much about the Quran.
And I don't pretend to know a ton about it either, so just in case. That is the claim, yes.
Okay. So if you're arguing that somebody is among the believers, that was a direct thing from God. I don't care how many sources you point to, that's what God said to them.
According to them.
That's the obstacle that I think is very hard to overcome with their belief. The Quran also speaks from happening to Jesus and the prophet. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, Joan. And honestly, that is kind of the frustrating thing. And that's why I don't want us to shy away from asking tough questions about how we got our Bible. I mean, that's part of the whole point of why we're doing this study. Is because, you know, it's easy. Go ahead. What's that?
We can just lay out all these
So essentially kind of what I'm doing is saying, if you want to have a conversation with someone who doesn't believe the Bible, if my only argument is, well, the Bible says, that's not enough sometimes. Now, for us, we hold the Bible very highly. Goodness gracious. I mean, we, you know, Asbury's theme, their motto is the whole Bible for the whole world. They take the Bible very seriously over there. Yeah, I disagree with some folks on, you know, some of those things, but, you know, we take the Bible very seriously. So I am absolutely saying the Bible is God's word, but I'm also saying that there are other ways that we can maybe ask some questions about this. Typically, this is not absolute, so yeah, there are exceptions, but usually, if you're having a discussion with a Muslim friend or coworker about this, usually they will not go to these kinds of historical questions. Usually they will say, well, the angel Gabriel, directly from Allah, gave this revelation to Muhammad, and that's how it came in a story. We could stop there, Joan. That's what I want to hear. But no, go ahead.
It's easier to talk to someone who is not going to have any religious belief. I think that it's someone who is not going to have any.
If they have, yeah, if they're just kind of neutral, they don't really have strong feelings one way or the other. The case that you can make for Jesus' resurrection is pretty compelling. Joe, you had a comment or question. Did. We can do the same. On the other side of the coin, what did Paul do when he was in Athens? Did Paul quote Old Testament to them? Does anybody know? Seen a few heads? Paul knew enough Greek pagan poetry and philosophy to say, to be able to talk to them on their terms. So, Joe, you're absolutely right. Jesus responded with Scripture. And so I want to affirm what you said. Yes, absolutely. Of course, Satan should also know that too. Yeah. Jesus is the embodied Word of God using the Word of God. That's just, it gives me chills. I think it's awesome. But Paul knows all these pagans around here. Does anybody hear the weather alert? Is that an amber alert? All of our phones are about to go off here in a little bit, maybe. The Jewish groups of Jesus' time had a lot of different views on what the Messiah was going to be like. But let me get back to this point here. So yeah, Joe, absolutely. Go ahead.
And I can't quote your verse in chapter, but it's somewhere where it says that you don't throw your pearls to pigs.
Jesus says that.
And when I don't get into arguments with people like that. I think of it, don't waste your time.
Yeah. Yeah. So for example. Trying to, if somebody is telling you that there's absolutely nothing historical about any of this, you know, Jesus was just made up and stuff like that, you're going to have a tough time. I wouldn't start with, say, well, let me tell you about how God is Trinity, you know? Like, that's a heavy idea. That's something that a lot of us have trouble fully wrapping our minds around. Sure, yeah.
To me, it's a waste of time.
It can be sometimes. It can be sometimes. But there are other times when it can be fruitful also. It takes a little bit of discernment to know when, maybe. Usually, so if somebody, Joe mentioned something else, and, you know, I felt this way before I had the opportunity to study this a lot. I was sometimes nervous to engage, you know, maybe friends at school or something like that when I was in high school, because I was afraid, you know, what if they have an argument that I can't answer? What if they say something that I hadn't thought of before? Well, I mean, it's still possible. So even though I'm, you know, close to getting my PhD, it's still possible that somebody could throw something at me that I hadn't necessarily thought of before. Usually my response to that is just to be honest with them. Say, look, I don't know off the top of my head. But I'm sure there is an answer somewhere. I'm sure somebody has approached this before. I find honesty to be really refreshing with that. I mean, if we're supposed to be modeling Christ anyway, it's okay for somebody to say something to you that maybe you had never thought of before. Say, you know, I really don't know. That's, yeah, part of the reason why Garrett and I are doing what we're doing. Joan, yes, ma'am. Praise God. Amen.
Well, sometimes, if you can't discuss it with them, then thank them for
that. Prayer really is powerful. It's easy to forget that sometimes, but yeah, it really is powerful. So, to kind of wrap up a little bit of what we've been doing right now, when somebody has a question about whether Jesus was actually raised from the dead, this is usually where I try to bring people. It's tempting to argue. Here's something else that you may need to watch out for. Remember my friend Jay that I talked about earlier? I'll show you this. I've got this up here. So my friend Jay, he's like 18 or 19, maybe 19 now or something like that. Remember I said this, Jay posted this on Facebook. Such a stupid picture. It's stupid because they don't even get the date wrong. They don't even get the date right. And here's another thing. You don't put AD after the date, just so you know. AD is a Latin phrase. It means Anno, Year, Domini, of the Lord. In the year of the Lord, 37. So AD always goes before the dates. So you can tell that somebody super ignorant put this together. This is annoying. And, I mean, Satan's got a nice suit on, but, I mean, it's so cartoonish and stupid. Anyway. And look, you see down here at the bottom, Hell Incorporated, that's where it was published. So this kid, Jay, who has some history with my family, posts this on Facebook. And the idea is that all this stuff about God is made up. And the idea is that Jesus is the good cop, Satan is the bad cop. And basically what has happened is people are just trying to control you. That's what Jay believes. Jay, however, has forgotten that when his parents were deemed by the state to be unfit to keep him and his twin sister, that the only people who took Jay in were Christians, you know, my brother and his wife. People who fed them, clothed them, found a way to get a little truck for him so he could like drive to work, stuff like that. Anyway, so Jay posts this on Facebook. And Joe, it would be easy for me to kind of let Jay steer the conversation, because that's one thing that a lot of people try to do. You know, I'll mention something I'd said to Jay. Okay, you want to talk about Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus? Okay, let's talk about Jesus. Because I knew that he had no idea where he was trying to go with this. It's tempting sometimes when you're discussing, you say, the Gospels and history and stuff like that. Usually what happens is when you start going down one route, the person that you're arguing with or discussing this with will have another thought, and they'll say, oh, well, what about this? What about the God of the Old Testament? He's so grouchy, and he hates, you know, people who aren't Israelites, and he hates gay people, and he hates, you know, and they'll go that route. And so if you try to start answering that question, they may come up with another one, like, oh, well, they were allowed to have slaves back then. How could a God allow people to have slaves? And, you know, so they start, I mean, they're drawing the bullseye here, and every time you take aim, they move the target. See how frustrating that is? You need a shotgun, Adam, Chris. I think the reason why Lee Strobel started with the case for Christ is because if you're talking with someone and you can focus on Jesus. That's good life lessons, by the way, too. Focus on Jesus. But if you're talking with someone and you can focus on Jesus, focus on his life, focus on his death, focus on the evidence for his resurrection. Okay? If you can focus in on those things, you can have a much more fruitful discussion. Somebody may seem intelligent if they just start throwing out all these questions that you can't answer. I've got a friend, his name is Justin Bland. He's a professor of exercise science at Harding University. I got to see him this past week. Spent a lot of time with Justin. He's a good friend. We've been friends for a long time. Justin occasionally has a student come in who is wrestling with some faith questions. Some have already decided that they don't believe in God anymore. So this is at Harding University, you know, Christian University, founded, 1924, affiliated with Churches of Christ. James A. Harding and David Lipscomb were pals back in the day at Lipscomb University in Nashville. So anyway, Justin, I just always call him by his last name, Bland. So Bland was sharing with me and some other friends a conversation that he was having with this student. Bland said it was so frustrating because the student would talk with him. They would email back and forth. And the student would argue one thing, or like he would make one statement. And as Justin is in the process of answering that historical question, the guy would then change the subject completely. And at one point he brought up aliens in the conversation. Aliens, okay, so like, you know, remember History Channel when they actually used to show history? Yeah, aliens, like crazy stuff like that. Don't let people try to do that if you're going to have this conversation with them. Be okay with saying, hey, if you want to have this conversation, I'm happy to talk with you about Jesus. Let's keep it focused on Jesus. Let's keep it focused on Jesus. Some people will try to argue with you all kinds of crazy stuff like, you know, what if you can't find the actual place of Sodom and Gomorrah from Genesis 19? Think about it. So the story, Genesis 19, what happens to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, they're destroyed. They're wiped out. So archaeologists have been trying to find them for a while, and some people think they have. Some people think they haven't. And some people will say, look, hey, we found Sodom and Gomorrah. That proves the Bible is true. Well, what if that wasn't actually Sodom and Gomorrah? And so, you know, some of our atheist friends will say, yeah, you know, see, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't there, therefore you can't believe the whole Bible. Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. My faith doesn't rest on being able to find a Sodom and Gomorrah or not. Does that make sense, Joe? Does that make sense to everybody else? Like, my faith doesn't rest, my Christian faith doesn't rest on somebody digging in the dirt in Israel and saying, aha, we have finally found Sodom and Gomorrah. Therefore, my faith doesn't rest on that. If you try to build up that, you think you'd build a house of cards that way. But faith does rest in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, and so one way now where you might be able to respond to that is by saying, does blind faith ask historical questions? No. But here I am asking historical questions. So,
that comes with education.
That's why I'm here, Joe. I would say formally educated.
Yes.
There's a distinction.
And they think that the Bible is a good story or a told and a nice legend. And, you know, and I've gotten into arguments with them to the point where I just started crying and left.
And I know it's frustrating. That is part, so I'll wrap up here. That is part of the reason why we're having this kind of discussion, because I know this is a real issue for a lot of folks. People that have family members, children who aren't believers. Yeah, I know it's a real issue. So like I said, I just wanted to review today, wanted to dialogue with y'all, kind of make sure that we were all on the same page. Next couple of weeks, we'll hit some different chapters. There's some really interesting stuff about Jesus' actual crucifixion, like what happened to his body from a medical standpoint. Very interesting things that we'll get into. Thank you all very much. You're dismissed.